Getting engaged is a moment worth cherishing. A one-of-a-kind ring that you design at Blue Nile can help your love sparkle. Just choose your diamond and setting. When you've found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Finding the right engagement ring can be nerve-wracking. At Blue Nile, you'll have the expert guidance needed and a diamond guarantee that ensures you're getting the highest quality at the best price. Cherish all of life's moments and save up to 30% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
Good evening. Welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. We are a couple of days away from what looks like it could be the division or possible playoff seeding in a nutshell. To break it down, you know his work, you read his work, you look at his content, Malik Obi. Obi, what's going on, man?
What's up, T? This is a good time right now. The Raiders are 6-3. The Raiders are about 70% sure to make the playoffs. The Raiders are going into a Chiefs game where, you know, the odds are not in Chiefs' favor unanimously for once, you know? It's been a long time coming for them to be in this position and have a team this convincing of being at this record. They went through the gauntlet and faced the best of their, you know, schedule already, and things look good.
It's weird. I had to look up, you know, on Google what this feeling was that I was feeling after the game on Sunday and looking forward to this upcoming game. And apparently this is a word called hope and optimism. Like, I don't know what that is being a Raiders fan, but let's just go ahead and see what happens. Now, before we dive headlong into it, Cleveland Farrell and LaMarcus Joyner are on the COVID list. Now, this could possibly mean they came in close contact with someone who has the coronavirus, or they might have it. So we won't know, but they still have an outside shot to play. What do you think, if they can't go, who should fill their spots?
If they can't go, I think that the Raiders, in terms of the defensive line, are in pretty good shape with the rotation that they add, and especially with the effort that they've gotten out of David Irvin last weekend, having Max Crosby and Carlton Effort getting more snaps, Vickers, guys like that, that gives them the opportunity. You know, they'll be okay with that. But in terms of losing LaMarcus Joyner in a nickel, you know, now that they have Damon Arnette back, they can be a little bit more versatile in who they put in the nickel and, you know, moving around the safety spots temporarily through different packages. I think they have a little bit more flexibility. You know, I think I would like to see what they would do, and maybe they'll maybe add somebody or something. But I think they're pretty good to go for this week, honestly.
I've been hoping that they would possibly throw a couple of snaps Amik Robertson's way. I mean, is that more of like, this is more of his redshirt type of deal, or do you see like somebody like a Keyshawn Nixon like sliding in there instead?
I honestly think in that I think we'll see a split. I think Nixon and Amik Robinson will get some snaps. You know, last week and the week before, we saw a couple of snaps by Amik. We didn't hear his name called. That's a good thing, you know. So I think that he's starting to gain the coach's trust. I think that we're going to see a little bit more snaps for him, especially if the Raiders get in a position where they're, you know, getting a comfortable lead, you know, especially going with the confidence that they're coming off the win that they had against Kansas City already. I think it would, you know, they might be in a position where they give Amik Robinson some more snaps.
Now, when we looked at this team and we look at the Raiders, and especially during this hot streak, Derek Carr hasn't put up great numbers, but to me, this is the version of Derek Carr I like. This is the, I'm going to do what it takes to win. It's not going to be pretty. It's just going to get first downs, going to keep drives going. I may hit a long one, may not, but we're going to try to score. Is this the best he's playing film-wise, not so much stat-wise?
I want to say 100% yes. I can say that without thinking, honestly, because of a few reasons. For one, we have seen him overcome a major odd. I know we talked about this a lot, but Derek Carr went in an Arrowhead, doing what he had to do, protecting the ball, you know, going all guts, no, you know, all guts, no glory, you know. He really went out there and played the best that he could. I mean, I think it goes a major way in terms of, we're talking about ball security. We're talking about in terms of, one, protecting the ball, but also taking some chances with his feet. I mean, this is the most confident we've seen Derek Carr step out of the pocket in a very long time. I mean, last week he just literally did a somersault over a defender last week. So, I mean, we got to think about it. This in terms of confidence, this might be the most confident year that Derek Carr has had. I mean, he's willed the Raiders through some games this year with his tenacity and poise. In 2016, it seemed like it was more of him trying to will it with his arm, but he was a loose cannon, a bit, and the ball security wasn't there. But he's shown some improvements. He's not throwing interceptions. He's still having some issues with fumbling, but I definitely think we're getting a more mature, wiser Derek Carter. You know, a lot of talk that we've had about whether or not, you know, they're going to get a new quarterback. And right now, there's nothing to complain about for him, honestly. He's taking chances, third down, Gruden is letting him throw the ball. I mean, there's nothing really to complain about with him right now. I think he's the best Derek Carr we've seen.
He's been blitzed 93 times. And that is a lot. I mean, he's only been hit 13, but he's been blitzed 93. And this just seems like the best incarnation of him as far as, you know, stats aside, which I don't really care about. He's showing that those flashes of aggressiveness, and I like the fact that he now can get upfield, like he actually chooses to, and it's a new thing for him. And I just looking at it, and it's weird. Even though he's taking more chances downfield, he's still completing 81% of his on-target passes. That means that over a four-fifths of his passes thrown will hit the receiver in the hands of chest. That is astounding.
That's
and,
pretty damn good, yeah.
You know, it's strange to me that, you know, like, when I look at how he has played during this, that game in Cleveland seemed like it was the tie turner. It was the one that you look at, you're like, oh, that's a game they would commonly lose. Now, I want to talk about the offensive line. Denzel Good is a free agent, and I posed this question earlier. Do you think they should let Incognito go and re-sign Good?
I think that they should definitely re-sign Good. I think that it depends on the cap and how the dice shakes with, you know, some other players, whether they want to extend some contracts or let some guys walk, cut their losses with some guys. I think I would look at keeping the Incognito around another year. But Denzel Good, I definitely think that he's a lock. He's probably, next to Rodney Hudson, been my favorite, you know, lineman this year. I think if you have a chance, you should keep both of them. And I know you have John Simpson as well, but the line, Tom Cable's done such a great job with the line and still having that force of you know, incognito, whether it's with Spurs or not in the future. You know, he's played at a high level. Having that for maybe another year can go a long way because the Raiders are looking like they're headed towards being a playoff contender. So, you know, keeping some of these pieces is essential. Until John Simpson can step in consistently, get better and run support, et cetera, and show that he's going to be the next guy, I think that, you know, got to play it year by year right now.
And when you look at somewhere like a Brandon Parker, where this is the Brandon Parker that we thought that the Raiders were getting when they drafted him in the third round, where he played well versus an above-average pass rusher in Bradley Chubb. I thought that Chubb would have his way, and Chubb just looked rather plain. And a lot of that was Parker. Does he seem like he's a better fit on the left? I'm not as a potential swing tackle. He's not gonna ever start on the left side, but
right
as a swing.
Right,
tackle.
Yeah. As a swing tackle, definitely. I mean, you know, he's had plenty of ups and downs. I think that it was a major adjustment for him getting thrown into the fire as he did when he first came into the league. He's shown that he's bulked up a little bit. He's shown that he's gotten quicker with his feet. You know, his mind is, you know, he's showing he's developing the game speed now a little bit faster. Like you said, he's not, you know, we're not, especially not at the left tackle, asking him to go in and be a permanent guy. But, you know, he definitely can be a swing tackle. I think he's shown that he's shown the promise in that he can, you know, he can develop. As this goes, also, like I said, again, speak to Tom Cable.
Now, we talked about the possibility of Rodney Hudson going into the Hall of Fame and with a few more years, as we talked about it last week. But when you look at somebody like a Gabe Jackson, as far as being, has he worked his way into the top 10 guards in the league?
Gabe Jackson? That's a good question because I feel like this, in my opinion, the guard position is pretty stacked across the league. I think, like, guards and centers is pretty, pretty stacked. Tackles is not as much, but guards? That's a good question. Now, I'll say that, in my opinion, without a doubt, he's top 10 run support guards. But overall, I don't know. I have to think about that one because the list is really, you know, long for me about the guards that I like, so. Top 10, I think I got to really think about it. I can't give you an answer right now. I just got to think about some people. I don't want to miss some names, but he's definitely one of the better guards in the league.
Now, I mentioned also that, you know, being an old school boxing fan, I see the Raiders offense kind of like Bernard Hopkins. For those younger people, he was the middleweight champion, has the record for the most consecutive defenses, won the middleweight title even at the age of 50. It wasn't pretty with B-Hop. It was more of, I'm going to wear you down and then I'm going to take you out late. The Raiders offense seemed to have that type of mentality. You are also a boxing fan. Is there a modern comparison that kind of fits this Raider offense boxing-wise to you?
The offense, I would have to say, that's a good one. I would have to say somebody like James Toney, because I feel like, you know, their best strength is their defense, but their counters is, you know, their strong points. So I felt like James Toney was that type of guy. His defense is so strong. But he was able to counter, and his offense was deadly because he was countering. And I think the Raiders do a lot of good things in terms of developing their play action, especially this season, something they've improved on a lot. Even plays that they don't complete, just taking a chance. They wear you down with the run game so much, especially now with Devontae Booker getting better, you know, acclimated to the offensive line and the playbook and everything. Seeing those two guys, Jacobs and Booker, really just go 1-2, 1-2, weigh you down, and then they get into the play action, and then you can develop, take chances on intermediate and long routes with guys like Nelson Aguilar, Henry Ruggs, et cetera. So I think that there's a lot of it's really technical, the Raiders offense. I mean, at times it does look vanilla, and at times it can be disappointing, like Tony. But it's definitely some nuances to it.
On a side note, I'm still rather pissed off that somehow somebody thought that Omar Epps would be a good James Toney in that biopic about Jackie Callen, his former manager. But that's for a whole other rant altogether. Still mad about that one. Still mad. Just anyway, but moving on to the defensive side of the ball. When we come back from break, I want to talk about interior pressure and Paul Gunther getting actually strangely creative. You are listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the Full Press Coverage Network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence speaking, League Obi. Paul Gunther on Sunday actually decided to get a little creative. He went via the zone blitz. That's how Carl Nassib picked the pass off. He actually brought up Abram and dropped back a defensive end into coverage. Where has this been?
Hey, listen. I mean, I think I've been as quick to protest. I mean, you know, contest what's going on as anybody, but, you know, over the last few weeks, the Raiders' defense has shown improvement. You know, it's a stat that the Raiders are top seven in, you know, defense points allowed coming out of the half. Third quarter, they're really stingy, you know, so that means they're making adjustments, whatever it may be, you know. They're getting more guys in. I mean, they're sending more pressure. I mean, Arden Key, we've seen more out of development. We're seeing more blitzes from, you know, different guys. Hey, I mean, I got to give him his props. Like I said, one thing about it is if I say something about somebody, I'll take it back if they prove me wrong. So, I mean, Paul Gunther has definitely stepped up because it's not like 10 guys with all this talent have walked in the door. David Irvin came this week, but aside from that, the Raiders defense has stepped up. I mean, they held the Denver Broncos to a yard in the second half for – you know, that's something amazing. That you know, when you really think about it, that length of time, we've never seen the Raiders defense do anything like it, regardless of who the quarterback is.
Now, when we look at that defensive line, you mentioned Arden Key, and Arden Key is a guy that went from kind of hyped up because we remember the picture of him being able to bend around the corner in practice, to a guy who missed the tackle on Christian Kirk, allowing him to scamper for 50 yards a couple of years ago, to somebody who was hurt and actually missed last year, to a guy that when he does play, and it looks like he excels better or excels when you limit his snaps, to a guy who actually provides that burst off the edge. And with his, like, tackle radius, we can hope is that he improves that aspect of his game. If he improves the tackling, that man's going to be an entire problem for people. But right now, like you said, he's shown a development. I want to talk more about David Irving, where this guy took a couple of years off, and he's still rounding the shape. But what did you see as far as the tools that are there that could possibly be polished for the rest of the season?
To be honest with you, it's been surprising, like, watching the tape, and, you know, watching the game, the broadcast live, and then watching the All-22 is like, Key's first step has just been, you know, it's been better. But, you know, he's always been fast on his first step, but he's been getting knocked around in the past. But this year, he showed a lot of different counters, you know, in terms of getting these big, strong tackles on him and trying to make sure that they don't get under his pads and drive him off the ball. He's been showing some really good counters with his hands. I mean, he's put a little weight on, but it's more so in his technique. That's been a major improvement. It's been like a big wow. It's just like when you really watch the tape and look at some of the guys that he's gone against. And, yeah, he's not been getting home every time, but just like the fact of the matter that he's getting there, the fact of the matter that he's not getting, you know, pancake. It's, you know, he's showing major improvement in terms of his get-off. I mean, I know it sounds corny and cliche to say, but eventually he's going to start getting home on a consistent basis because he's showing some improvement in his technique.
And if we go towards linebackers, without Corey Littleton there, this might be the best game I've seen Nick Morrow play. He blitzed well. He got home. He was hitting the quarterback. He was everywhere. This is where you look back at former GM Reggie McKenzie's view of what Morrow could possibly be. This was what he envisioned. But now it's like when Corey Littleton comes back, there's a lot for Corey Littleton to, you know, to improve upon. The man has still missed 15 tackles. But I want to talk about a guy that you were the first person to say his name and bring any attention to him when no one, and anyone who, if they're saying that they had him as a future Raider, is lying because there's the receipts to prove it. Nick Kwiatkowski is a guy that you had. You called it. He had the one-handed pick late, but more importantly, he gives them a presence in the middle that they haven't had in a long time. And the fact that he may not be the best athlete, but he covers fairly well into short areas. When they face the Chiefs this Sunday, and you know he'll probably have to see Travis Kelce or even Le'Veon Bell in the short parts of the field, do you think he can hold up?
I mean, that's a good question because, I mean, reality is we're talking about the arguable best, you know, tight end in the league, debatably. He's very athletic. He's very, you know, very quirky with his movements. You know, he's very sound technically. You know, I think he has his work cut out for him, but I'm not expecting him to be a Travis Kelce stopper. I do expect him to do some decent work against Le'Veon Bell. I expect him to do a lot better against him than many may think. But, you know, I think that we're in for something. You know, I think that they're not going to be expecting him to shut him down. I think they're going to that's going to be on Gunther to, you know, get his safeties involved and show us what he can do in terms of scheming up, stopping Travis Kelce. You know,
exactly. Now, when you look at the Chiefs offensive line, they might be missing a couple offensive linemen where they place starting tackle Eric Fisher, starting right tackle Mitchell Schwartz, and backup Martinez Rankin on the COVID-19 list. With one or even perhaps two or three of those guys missing, if you're Paul Gunther, do you start sending people at Mahomes or do you think that you can get home with four?
That's a good one. I think that they're going to try to, now this is my opinion, I think that the Chiefs are going to try to quick game the Raiders to death in terms of just beating them with the speed. They have so much speed across the field. Especially if LaMarcus Joyner is not there to go, they're going to try to test all of the raw talent that the Raiders have. You know, even though guys like Eric Harris, you know, Jeff Heath, Isaiah Johnson, they've stepped up in spurts. They haven't seen this much talent coming at them on a consistent level. You got to think about how many guys that they can send out. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Le'Veon Bell, you got Travis Kelce, you got, you know, Hardman, you got so many options out there aside from Tyreek Hill. You know, so they might try to wear them down a quick game and try to force the Raiders to send some pressure because they're going to eat up the middle of the field.
Now, when you watch Patrick Mahomes, just before we dig into the numbers, just on a film sense, does he look like the same quarterback he was last year? Do you think he's playing at that level?
You know, it's crazy because it doesn't seem like it. right? It doesn't seem like it. When you watch the games, it just seems like the electrifying thrill, you know, thrill that it was to watch the Chiefs game. I'm not going to lie. I'm not being biased. Every Chiefs game, you know, there was a sense that something major was going to happen. Every single game between Mahomes and Hill, et cetera, that something amazing was going to happen. And the crazy thing is, it seems like, it's not happening. It's, you know, it's not whatever, you know, it's not going as well. But the reality of it is he's having a phenomenal season. You know, the Raiders game, the Raiders did what they were supposed to do. But in reality, he's having arguably one of his best season, if not his best season, on pace for it. He has the most completions. He has 25 touchdowns and one interception. Last year, he had 26 touchdowns, period. You know, he had 50 touchdowns the year before. So, you know, looking at where we're at, he has a chance of still getting that. I'm not saying he's going to go off on the Raiders, but he has a chance of doing those numbers again. 40-something touchdowns and maybe 3-4 interceptions. That's ridiculous. You know, the guy is so great that now that when he has a great season, but it's not as historical as those, that we kind of, you know, tend to question it. But that's greatness, you know. And you look at the numbers, it's phenomenal now. The hope is that he doesn't do it against the Raiders, but he's still putting the numbers up at a great rate.
I think exactly. He's putting up these strong numbers where I look at it where it may not be him who's playing differently. I know his offensive line is, because diving into the numbers, he was only hit 34 times last year, 15 games.
Mm-hmm.
He's been hit 25 already, 9 games. Teams blitzed him 108 times over a full season last year, over 14 games. They blitzed him 74 times. I look at a guy like Jonathan Abram, where Paul Gunther has been using him extensively with blitzing to the point of, in 8 games, he has sent him 32 times. That's a lot for a safety. That is a lot for a safety. He might be at this point a safety in name only, because it seems like Gunther has that faith in Abram to get home, not just get home, but to impact the play at hand. And no other Raider has been blitzed that often. The next closest person who has blitzed is Corey Littleton with 25, and LaMarcus Joyner with 13, then Nicholas Morrow with 9. What is it about Jonathan Abram that Paul Gunther just seems to like?
I think that Abram is, you know, he wants Abram to become that Jamal Adams. He wants Abram to become that phenomenal safety, that next level safety, you know, feeling like he finally has one, you know. So I think that a lot of times when we look at those Bengals defenses, I feel like Gunther had the phenomenal defensive lineman. He had solid linebackers. He had solid cornerbacks, you know, but I think he feels like this can be his chance to have that crash dummy all out, you know, do it all safety in Abram. And, you know, Gruden has given him that reign to do, you know, to perform as such. So I just think that he feels like he has somebody with speed, and he will hit and make attempts and make plays in coverage. You know, and he can mold him to be what he wants to be, or to mimic some of the best safeties in the league.
One thing about Abram I like is the fact that he sees ball, he hits ball. There's very little overthinking, where if you acquit the spade, you know the old rule, study long, study wrong. He sees it, and he goes for it. And I think that that's what this defense has lacked for the longest time. When you look at the Chiefs and you look at their wide receivers, and I want to focus on Le'Veon Bell. He has 20 touches in his 4 games as a Chief, but do you see Andy Reid using him more often to not so much exploit Abram, but just kind of get Bell in space, because he pretty much runs routes like a wideout?
I think that we can definitely expect that from Andy Reid. I think that he's betting on that. I think that Andy Reid, I really feel like sometimes, listen, they won the Super Bowl last year. No hate, but I really think that at times, you know, in the past, what prevented him from winning more Super Bowls is that he might be a little bit too smart for his own good, you know? So I think that's the thing with Andy Reid. He's the talent that he had kind of overcame some of the mistakes that he's made in the past, and it paid off this time. But I think that that's been an issue for him in his past.
I agree. Now, if you had to predict this game, how do you see it going, and what do you think the score would be?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think that, and I've told you plenty of times when I think the Raiders are going to lose. I think that we're in for a surprise. I think that things are swinging the Raiders' way this year. I definitely think that they will win this game. I've been kind of wrestling back and forth with the score. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that the Raiders are going to win a shootout this game. I don't think the Raiders, even though their defense has shown improvement, will be able to put up with, you know, what the Chiefs throw at them for the most part of the game, but they will make a comeback. And the Raiders, you know, I think this will be a high-scoring game, and with the Raiders winning and Derek Carr doing it and essentially beating Mahomes, whether or not Mahomes throws for 600 yards and Carr throws for 300, but he scores 4 touchdowns, that this solidifies Carr as the Raiders quarterback in the future. I think this is that game. I think this is that year that, you know, he's already beat the Chiefs once. And listen, we've seen crazy things happen, you know, this year. So, you know, I wouldn't put it past this being the year that Derek Carr in year 7 says, clear out. This is my team. There's nothing to talk about. And he plays a phenomenal game against the Chiefs again and leads the Raiders to a win.
There you go.
I predict the score.
Yeah.
The score, I would have to say, I'd say 38-31.
See, I've been going back and forth myself. I haven't decided on the winner yet because I'm like, it's one of those things. It's like, just like you said, it feels real shootout like the first one. It just has that feeling. But I could also see the Raiders smothering the Chiefs with the ground game. But before we get out of here, did you see where DeAndre Baker will probably end up on the Chiefs?
Yes, I did. I honestly feel like as a Raiders fan, you should not be surprised by things like that. It seems like 9 times out of 10, everybody ends up on the Chiefs. So, you know, the Raiders have played through it before, and honestly, beating the Chiefs again with all this extra added talent, like Le'Veon Bell, et cetera, it would just solidify the Raiders even more.
Now, before we step out for the night, where could people interact with you on social media if they want to interact and read your content and check the videos and whatnot?
You can find me on Twitter at NFL Malik, M-A-L-I-I-K.
He is the best to do it. You can find our work at fullpresscoverage.com/Raiders or FBC_Raiders on all platforms. From Malik Obi, Terrence Biggs, this has been an episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. Good night.